Imagine you were playing a game just like they were here today, and you won. Here's what your prize may be. Each morning, your bank account would be deposited in it $86,400 in this account for your use. How are you going to use this? Because there are certain rules that you have to abide by. Number one, everything that you don't spend in that account in that day is taken away from you. Second of all, you may not transfer any of that money into some other account, and you cannot give it away. You may only spend it. Fourth, each morning upon awakening, the bank opens your account, which was empty now, and deposits another $86,400 into your account. Fifth, the game may be ended at any time and without any warning. They'll say, the game is over. Close your account, and you will not receive a new one. How are you going to plan to live each and every day of your life with $86,400? You're going to try and spend all you can that day. You're going to buy everything that you ever wanted in your life, and then even more than that. You're probably going to share with your friends and your neighbors and probably people you don't know, because you know the next day you're going to have what? $86,400 more. There's going to be coming a time when you cannot buy anything that you need. So how are you going to live this life, knowing that one day it may be cut short and ended? You know, this is not a game, it's real. For you were given 86,400 seconds each day of your life to live. If you have any left over at the end of the day, when you go to bed, it's taken away from you. But you know, in the morning, you'll get 86,400 seconds for tomorrow. But one day, the game's going to stop, and God's going to call you home. Are you going to spend eternity? Because there's not going to be any more 86,400 seconds in your life. So that's a warning to us as we go through life. Over these last several weeks, the sermon titles have been Second Chances. Today, we end this series with Third Chances, responding to God's call. It is God who has given us life, and He's given it to us that we may enjoy it. And God is calling you in His own way to come to Him. And how does He do this? How does He call you? For God has given us His Son, Jesus. He has come to live with us and live amongst us. And we have come to Him and believe in Him. We accept Him as Lord and Savior of our life. And in doing so, God gives us something in return for our faith. And that reward is just not 86,400 seconds a day, but it's eternal, everlasting, never ending. So you are our winner if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Gospel of John states, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the God's one Son, one and only Son, Jesus. You see, our gospel lesson today, which was read by Susan, speaks of a man who was given many chances to listen to God and to do what he commanded. It is about Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother who gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God. For Joseph was called not once, not twice, but three times by God to save this child that was not his, but who came from God himself. Joseph, like any young man, found out one day that he was matched up by his family for marriage, and he was to be married to a young girl named Mary. He came to love her, for she was about to share with him those 86,400 seconds each day as a wife. However, Joseph's balloon, his balloon of love, disinflated, because Mary told him that she was pregnant. Joseph knew that this was not his cause. He had no action in this, and he was very upset that Mary was not faithful to him. Joseph needed to end this relationship, for they were considered married when they became engaged. But the marriage culture also said that they needed to live apart for 1 year in order to justify the purity of Mary. But now he was agonizing over how and what he should do with his situation. Was he to divorce Mary? But he loved her. He did not want to put her through the agony of what society may do to her, because she could have been stoned to death at the gate for being unfaithful. And I wondered, and this is me thinking, that perhaps maybe Joseph went to the synagogue one day and he heard the priest talk about Isaiah 7:14, which said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And then we pick up where our gospel is. That night, as he lay on his bed sleeping, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph, and he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. For she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph now had a choice to make. Does he believe what the angel said? Does he believe what that heard, or that the word that he heard maybe from the priest? Or does he go ahead and divorce Mary? You know, many times we don't realize what Joseph went through. So how would we respond when the call of God comes to us? The call to come and follow him. Are we going to accept or reject God's call? Each of us in our own way needs to be alert to God and what he is trying to tell us, because he wants us to become part of the family of God. He calls all of us to be part of that family. So when Joseph woke up, what did he do? He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. In making this choice, Joseph preserved the birth of Jesus. Later, they traveled to Bethlehem, where Mary gave birth to Jesus in a cattle stall and was laid in a manger. By following the command of God, Joseph and Mary were blessed. They were blessed with Emmanuel. God with us was born. On that holy night, there were shepherds in the field just outside of Bethlehem. And they received the good news of the birth of this Christ child. Now you would think the birth of one who is to become king would be announced to the highest authorities. But Jesus' birth was made known to the common folk, to the lowly shepherd, for these were God's people. They came and they worshiped, and then they proclaimed the good news, glorifying and praising God. And then, sometime much later, we don't know the exact time, there came an entourage of magi from the east. And they came to King Herod, stopping and inquiring to where this child is who was to be born the king of the Jews. Herod became very infuriated, for here was one who was threatening his kingship. And he spoke with his staff, and they said that the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, was to be born in Bethlehem. And he also inquired to the Magi about the star. How long were they following the star? And they said, we have been following it for nearly 2 years, when they may have discovered this star in the heavens. So Herod said to the Magi, go, find this child, and after you have worshipped him, come back to me and tell me where he is, that I may worship him. Ha, 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 ha. For Herod had another thing to do rather than worship. So the star led the Magi to where Jesus was. It was not in a stable, but in a house, it says, where they saw the child and not a baby. Here they worshiped the Christ child and offered their gifts. And then, being directed by God, they returned home by another way. And then we read in our gospel text of Matthew that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Dream what? Number 2. And it said, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So they got up. They took the child, Joseph, and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Joseph was given a second chance to respond to the word of God. He didn't hesitate, but he immediately took Mary and the child to Egypt. When Herod found out that the Magi outwitted him, he decreed the following. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. From our gospel there, Matthew 2, 16 and 17. By following the word of the Lord a second time, Joseph was given the chance to save the life of the child Jesus. The Holy Family then would spend time in Egypt until the angel of the Lord came, guess what? A third time to Joseph. And our text says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Again, Joseph obeyed the word of the angel, and he took the family to Galilee, to Nazareth. Joseph, who was the step-in dad, who was ready to divorce Mary, responded to the call of God, not once, but three times. And there they became a family in which the Christ child grew up. The question can be asked then, why did God send Jesus into the world? Jesus came to redeem us of our sin. Sin in the eyes of God, if not forgiven, leads to eternal death. And Jesus came to seek us and to save us from our sin, that we may have life and have life everlasting. Not just 86,400 seconds with a possibility of it being cut short, but for everlasting. Jesus, who is the author of our salvation, came to live with us, suffer with us, and experience life as we know it. And he came as the pioneer then of our salvation, dying for us, taking the penalty of our sin, that we should not suffer eternal death. For our Hebrew text, which again Susan read, says, he, Jesus, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. His mission, the mission of Jesus, was to overcome the power of death and to give us life. Life everlasting. To do so, he came as a man, and the Hebrew text says, for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and a faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make an atonement for sins for all the people. You see, Jesus came seeking us, wanting us to be part of the family of God, to be a follower, and to be a disciple of Jesus. As Christians and United Methodists, the mission of the church is to make disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world. Bishop Gregory Palmer, who grew up in our conference here, noted, local churches provide the most significant arena through which disciple making occurs. And he also noted, this is the missionary piece of making disciples of Christ. We seek to join God in the redemption of the whole world. God doesn't stop with second chances, but gives us many chances to respond to his calling, his calling for our redemption and for our salvation. Joseph responded three times when God called him, and I trust that you are a disciple of Christ, currently using your 86,400 seconds each day to live a life for him. God wants us, and He calls us. He calls us to become part of the family of God. Join me in prayer. Merciful God, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. He came to seek us and to save us. Lord, may we respond to Your calling like Joseph, trusting in Your word. For this we pray. Amen.